All right. Well, tonight I'd like to call you over to Psalm 83, verse 18. Psalm 83, verse 18. Psalm 83, verse 18 reads this way. It says, "That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, asking for your blessing on your word tonight, open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, that you might be honored and glorified, and our lives drawn closer to you and to one another. And Lord, that we may understand to a better degree what it means to follow you and to walk trusting you, Lord, on this side of eternity, that the world might know who you are. Bless again your word and your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "That Men May Know." It's found right there in that verse. And tonight, as we consider this text here, I hope and pray it shows the relevance of God's Word. You've heard people say, when you open up the Bible, it's like opening up the morning paper. Amen? I want to say it's even better than that, because it is true and accurate, and things that are done by mankind are not always true and not always accurate. So I want to consider the glory of God above everything else in our lives. That's what God wants us to see. And just four quick little thoughts here. A call for God, and then a crafty counsel of God's enemies, and then the confederacy of God's enemies, and then the ultimate confusion of God's enemies. So just look at verse 1 with me here, and notice what it says. It says, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God." You know, sometimes when people look at this kind of a verse, they say, "Well, my goodness, that's asking for God's judgment." And it is. I mean, you know, Lord, look at what's going on, and how long, Lord, right? How long will you allow this to go on? That really ought to be the inward cry of every heart of every child of God for the glory of the Lord, for God's righteousness and his judgments to prevail and through life. And so when we consider this, we find this call that this psalmist has, and this is I think the last psalm here of Asaph, who was a very godly musician for the Lord during the time of King David's reign, and he was calling out for something, that God would judge his enemies and the enemies of God's people. Now, I think as we consider this, we're looking at the front page news even today in our day and age, and this might be a prophecy depicting what is even taking place today. So notice this crafty counsel here of God's enemies. Look at verse 2. It says, "For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head." Who? The ones that hate who? God. And remember what the Lord said? If they hated me, they're also going to hate you, my people. And so, listen, there's no doubt in my mind that Israel are truly the chosen people of God. I have no problems at all. I don't believe in this idea that they've been replaced with the church. That's not true. God has simply, listen, they blinded themselves, and we're looking at Israel as a nation. There are individual Jews that have trusted the Lord, and they have wonderful testimonies about the grace of God, but God is going to give Israel as a nation. He's going to come back for them, and things are moving into place and have been moving into place to prove that case here. So look at verse 3. It says, "They have taken crafty counsel against thy people." So they hate you, God, and they've taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. And so here they are, they're taking this counsel. What could be craftier than to say, "We're the victims. You're attacking us." And they're the ones that are being deceptive But I don't know if you heard this. I just found out this afternoon, and I think it happened maybe, they're, I think, a day ahead of us. So I think it happened in the morning, their time. And anyway, they had chosen a route to help. This is today in Israel and Gaza there. They had chosen a route to go ahead and get the people from Gaza out of there before any kind of military strike. They were trying to get the civilians out of there. And Hamas went in there and started attacking
the Israeli army in there. They attacked where they knew the civilians were going to be trying to flee from Gaza. That's how much they care about their own citizens. They don't care about them. But their own citizens are indoctrinated to hate Israel from birth. And so this is just like one. If you've ever watched, you can see how they educate their little kids and how they tell them to hate the Jewish people, and that killing the Jewish people is a very good thing. My goodness, you can't get any craftier and demonic and just evil than that. They're just teaching them from the ground up, hey, how to hate God's people. So they take this counsel, and they're going out against God's people. Look at verse 4. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being what? From the river to the sea, right? That we're gonna drive them. This whole idea is of being a nation is to take them off the map. That's what they're talking about. Take them that they won't exist. But the problem with that is God says, no, that's just not going to be the way it is. And so they've taken this counsel, and they're saying, we want to, verse 4 again, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. That sounds like today, doesn't it? And then notice this, for they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee. Did you hear what the psalmist is saying? God, they are standing against you. May we stand up with God and his people. Say, Lord, they are standing against you. We pay for the peace of Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem, for your people and for your honor and glory. Listen, God is wanting to wake us up, amen, to what's really important. And the only thing that is really all important is the glory of God. And his righteousness and his people. And by the way, which we have been engrafted into, and we thank the Lord for that. Notice again, verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee, the tabernacle of Edom. Do you remember who Edom is? Esau. Edom is Esau. When did they start that battle? In the womb. In the womb, Jacob and Esau were at war. And that's why he says, before you were, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. You know why? Because he knew, God knew he was anti-God. And by the way, as soon as he found out, he married an Ishmaelite. You can't get any worse than that. And we know that the Ishmaelites are a picture of the flesh, and they strive against the spirit, which was Isaac. And so they're at enmity. And by the way, listen, they're Muslims. They're Muslims. Oh, Brother George, you're going to get... That's the truth. Listen, do you know that Muslims are offended if you call them Arabs? They're not Arabs. They'll tell you, we're Muslims is what they'll tell you. And listen, I'm sorry to say, but Allah is not God. And Muhammad is not his prophet. Not God's prophet. That's a false god. And so the cry out is against a false god and to the glory of the real, the only one and true God. And so he says, listen, Edom, in verse 6, the tabernacle of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes. These are all the people that hate God. Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher also is joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot. And then he says, Selah. He says, think about that. Boy, if there was ever a time to stop and think about what God is saying and what God is revealing to us, may we be more aware than ever before that things are coming to pass. You know, Brother John, I think I'd heard a little bit about it, just a little bit about it, Sunday, the 8th of October. And he said, did you hear about that? I said, yeah, I heard about that. He said, this is kind of a big deal. And I thought, well, Israel's been in battles before. I didn't really know. Brother John, did you have any idea it was going to escalate to this degree? This is unbelievable. I mean, listen, this is amazing of what's taking place and what God is doing. This is not a little thing. The whole world is rising up and petitioning against Israel. Now, not everybody in the world, but you've seen what you see what's going on in France and different foreign countries, in our United States, in the city that is that was populated by a lot of Jewish people in New York City. They're wanting their how did that all that happen? Their craftiness. They have been through the years just coming in and undercover indoctrinating and being deceptive and really they have a lot of use of people that really aren't thinking right. And so they're standing out against Israel. And so God says, I'm not blind to these things, but God says we ought to call out for the peace of Israel, and we ought to want the righteousness of God. And we ought to be aware of the wickedness of the enemies of God and what they're all about. So he says this to them. So as we consider this, we find the confederacy of God's enemies, which is Edom, which is really Esau. And then we find God's ultimate confusion of God's enemies. And this is important because it seems like it is depicting what is happening in our day and age here. Have you ever seen that before? We want them off the map. We want them, come and let us cut them off from being a nation that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Is that what they're not trying to do today? Is that not their end game today? That's what they're wanting to do. And so verse 9, he says, "Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Syria and as to Jabin at the brook Kishon, which perished at Endor, they became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes like Zeba and Zalumna, who said, let us take ourselves the houses of God in possession." They're ours. That belongs to us. Isn't that what they're saying? Listen, do you really think that they want that land? No. They're really after the riddance of the people of God. That's what they're really all about. And they've got a hatred. And God says, I'm gonna stand up against that. Isn't it amazing? All of the enemies of Israel, and they're still in existence. They're still in existence. That ought to reveal to us the faithfulness of God. And by the way, Israel is still blinded. That ought to reveal to us the mercy of God. We see God's faithfulness. Does Israel deserve it? No. But then again, neither do we. We see the mercy of God. Does Israel deserve it? No. And again, neither do we. We see the love of God. It's the love of God. Does Israel deserve it? No. And then again, neither do we. And yet, we know him. Amen? We know him. May we seek him like never before. Listen to what he says here. He says, they want their houses in verse 12. He says, "Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm." So here's what happens. God reaches out with mercy, but when you say no, and God knows when your no is permanent. And with these people, it is permanent. Now, I'm not saying that people can't be saved that are caught up in that movement, but God says, there's a time coming where I'm going to deal with all of those that stand against me and my people. So he says, persecute them. And notice verse 15 again. "So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with what? Shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord." Even in the midst of God's judgment, there's mercy. There's the mercy of God. "Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish." Those that will refuse to turn. God says this is their judgment. Why? "That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah," God Almighty alone, "art the Most High over all the earth." The Most High. He is the Most High. There is none else. There is none else. And so tonight, God reminds us the reason and the purpose for all of the scriptures is that you and I may know and that the world may know who God the Most High is. And so tonight God says, listen, everything that you and I need for comfort and for confidence to follow the Lord comes from God. It doesn't come, listen, it's important to read the Word of God, but may we seek the God of the Bible to reveal Himself as He pleases in our lives and to empower our lives to stand for the truth. This is not a popular position and is becoming more unpopular by the day. But how will we stand if we don't stand today? God wants us to stand and to seek Him and to treasure Him above all things. Or listen, we won't stand. We need the Lord on a daily basis. We need to meet with God. May we as God's people call upon Him because He is worthy. Lord, I am waiting upon You to do what? To enable me to mount up with wings as eagles. Amen? And I don't know if you're familiar with what an eagle mom does with her treasures, with her little eaglets, how she teaches them to fly. Are you familiar with what she does? She takes them and puts them on and takes them up in the high sky, and then you think that's a little bit of a trial? She drops them, and they're flapping. They can't fly, and they're falling. They're falling, and they're not flying for practice. They're flying for dear life. And what does that eagle mom do? She swoops in underneath and picks them up. And then what does she do after that? She takes them up there again and drops them. And listen, the trials that come into our lives are to strengthen us. How? Our dependence upon how much we need the Lord. God, without You, I am falling and I have no way to help myself. But God says, I will enable you to fly. You can't fly. And He does this with His children. You can't fly yet, but you're going to fly. And you're going to fly by whose power and whose might? The Lord's, God's. God's power. And so tonight, listen, praise God, as a believer, we are on the winning side. And God says, if you'll seek Me, how? This is the way it works. If you want to know how to find the Lord, He tells us, seek the Lord with what? All of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul, more than anything else. Think about the things that you have pursued in life, whether it be learning something or doing something that you really wanted to do. May God be many times more important in our pursuit. He's worthy. And may we trust the Lord and say, God, I am calling upon You to show me what You've promised. Lord, I want to see You involved in my life. I want to see You enable me to do what You've promised that I know I could never do. I can't. That's a good way to approach the Lord. That's humbling ourselves. Lord, I can't do it. You've promised to do it. Lord, I'm calling upon You to fulfill Your peace and Your joy in my life. You know, if we just get alone with the Lord and talk to Him like that, instead of just giving Him our list, I'm not saying those things are wrong, okay? But more importantly, that we might know who God is, listen, in our own lives, that we might see Him. He wants to reveal Himself, but it requires faith. It requires us going to the book and seeing what He's said, He has promised to us as His people, and then to say, God, I'm calling upon You to fulfill that in my life, because here's one thing I know, I can't do it. I don't have the power, don't have the strength. If there's ever been a time for the Lord's return appearing to be sooner than ever before, it's today. It's today. I mean, listen, this world is getting crazier by the day. Just when you think you haven't heard the worst, it gets worse. And so tonight, God reminds us, our peace is not by looking at the enemy, but by seeking Him and knowing His faithfulness. Would you stand? Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all of your promises that you've given to us. Lord, may you give us a heart that we don't have by ourselves to seek after you and your righteousness. Lord, may you do a work in our hearts to create a hunger and a thirst, Lord, for you and your righteousness. May we see you in our lives. May we seek you like never before, that we might see you in our lives like never before. For your honor and glory, Lord, for the blessing that you want to give to each and every one of us, and that we might be truly the witnesses that you have created us to be in the new birth. Bless Northwood, Lord. Bless your people tonight. Build your church for your honor and glory. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.